Who should we bring up on my next tip? Let's get Corey Graves out here.
Y'all want to hear Corey Graves?
Get Corey Graves. Y'all want to hear Corey Graves?
Raw, SmackDown commentator.
You know, this. I mean, now.
I think the only man in here with better hair than me.
Let me tell you something, Corey Graves, guys. You got to give it up for the guy. All right. Now we got to give him a big round of applause. Corey Graves, look here, working Raw. All right, working SmackDown. All right, 205 Live. All right, he's working the pay-per-views.
Oh, here he is, Corey Graves, ladies and gentlemen, make some noise.
And my question is, have they given you a raise yet? Give it up for Corey Graves, guys. Give it up. Have a seat, Corey. We're just having a good time. And myself, me and Corey, we go back to, you know, the kickoff show down there in Stanford. We would go down there every week, man, to film this show, 30 minutes. But the best part of it, man, was...
Seabass.
The Capitol Grill, baby.
Every day, every Monday. Like clockwork, Booker and I would have Seabass, and it is the best thing in the world. It was literally the only reason we agreed to do the show.
What about the Brussels sprouts? The Brussels sprouts with the bacon on it?
It was legit. It was not a bad way to live.
Brussels sprouts, bacon. I used to order at least $200 worth of food a week.
That's the God's honest truth.
Don't tell nobody about that.
No. That's probably why the Raw pre-show doesn't exist anymore. We bankrupted it with our Capital Grill orders.
Now, Corey Graves, guys, literally have been a standout in WWE. I mean, to step into the position that he have is huge. And for Corey, me personally, I want to say congratulations for being I know Michael Cole punk ass ain't here because this is the true face of Monday Night Raw.
Thank you, Booker. That means the world coming from you. And yes, Cole's punk ass is not here. I wanted to pile onto that. But hey, funny story. I was actually thinking on the drive over here. To this day, anytime I'm on camera, I think of something you taught me when we first started doing kickoff shows.
What's that?
You told me to never look at the person that is talking to me or asking me a question because it throws you off.
Yeah, that's true.
And because that used to be the hardest thing, would be on camera, and I thought, I have to stare at Renee the whole time. And meanwhile, I'm worried about staring at Renee and not thinking about the actual answer to the question. And I'd lock up, and I really sucked. But Booker told me, he goes, hey, man, he goes, avert your gaze, stare at the table, stare at your pen, something like that. And to this very day, every time I know the camera's on me, I'm thinking of Booker's words. So that helped me a lot, man. Honest
to
God.
Man. Appreciate it.
And
appreciate
we also had some great times at the Hilton in Stanford.
Yeah. A lot of late night, baby. Let's just talk.
I mean, in the morning, we did breakfast. It was totally. Yeah.
Do tell.
Yeah, we would do the omelet with the three eggs. It was great. It was a great way to live.
Now, you guys got, I know you got some good questions for what you got for Corey Graves?
You're right there.
I want the guy that was pointing at himself and also being pointed at with the Jinder Mahal shirt. Yeah.
What you got?
Big Bad Corey Graves. I know you got that WrestleMania tiger. Who would be your dream WrestleMania opponent?
Oh, my God. That's impossible. Honestly, the two that stand out for me, because I was actually looking forward to wrestling them when I was still wrestling in NXT, was Finn Balor. And Shinsuke Nakamura.
No.
I was a huge fan. Booker does the best Shinsuke impression in the company. Nobody knows that. The face is dead on. It's very accurate.
Tweet that out.
I was a huge fan of Shinsuke when he was in New Japan, and I was tried to steal some of his stuff, but not very well. So when he actually got here, it was kind of bittersweet because I always wanted to work with him, and I can honestly say he's probably my favorite guy on the roster right now.
Man, you know what? One thing about Shinsuke Nakamura, you guys can agree with me. When you hear his music, don't it just do something to you? Yeah. It makes you just want to just see somebody fight somebody. You know what I mean? That's what I like about Shinsuke Nakamura and his music. And that look, he's ugly. You know what I mean? He's real ugly. You know, but he's good. He's real good. Hey, right here, front row, man with the bull on his shirt. You from Texas? You from Texas, bro? I'm just saying, all right.
A lot of people don't realize that you were forced out of wrestling due to concussions similar to Daniel Bryan. I was curious, like, can you talk us through your mindset for when you had to retire and off the commentary to
First of all, I'd just like to say I was Daniel Bryan before Daniel Bryan was Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, he was.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. But the question was for people who didn't hear, you were forced to retire from in-ring competition due to a concussion issue, right?
Yeah, and it was the worst experience of my life, honestly. Like, there was a good probably 6 months to a year that, I mean, my life kind of fell apart. Not only did I have my dream job sort of taken away from me, and it affected every aspect of my life, man. My wife and I were having problems. Literally, if it could have gone wrong, it was wrong. I started doing the company. They said, you can do anything you want. We're not limiting you, but figure something out. So I started doing anything and everything they would let me do. I started running cables for the sound guys at the NXT live events. I mean, I literally went back and paid my dues all over again. And just because this is, thank you, that my dream has always been to work for WWE. I mean, I ideally would have been a superstar, but I started doing the commentary thing and people started telling me, hey, you kind of have a knack for this. Maybe you should stick with this. And it was a desperation move on my part, but now I've kind of grown into it. Fast forward a couple years and I'm like the most televised guy in WWE now.
Look at him.
Not Michael Cole's punk ass.
Well, hey, I got a question for both of you.
No. And the thing is, just to add on to that, you know, just to, you know, this is real talk. You know, when Daniel Bryan messed his neck up, the first thing I said was what?
He's finished.
When Corey Graves messed up, I said, he's finished. Move on, sucker. Now,
I was going to ask, you know, we just unfortunately lost the late, great Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Oh, man, give it up
for Bobby. One of the greatest commentators of all time.
Give it up for Bobby.
And I've seen online a lot of comparisons between you and Bobby Heenan, but I just wanted to ask you first, Corey, like, what did Bobby Heenan have a big influence on your commentary style?
I tweeted it out last week when he passed, and I meant, without Bobby Heenan, there is no me. I grew up watching Bobby and Gorilla. I like to think that he's influenced me. There will never be another Bobby the Brain Heenan. He right. is the best of all time. No one can ever touch him. But some people say that, you know, they see the flavor of him, and that's totally because I grew up watching him. I loved him. I thought he was the best of all time. He entertained me to no end. When they played that video package on Raw after he passed, Booker, Cole, and I were sitting at the table belly laughing. Like, they had to cut our mic so it didn't bleed through because we were just laughing at how awesome Bobby Heenan was.
Yeah,
and so crazy. He'll definitely be missed. He's the greatest of all time, and it's any honor to be anything, you know, in the same conversation.
Boom.
Now, what did you think? Bobby Heenan called some of your matches. You spent a lot of time with him in WCW. Any Bobby Heenan story that comes to mind right now?
Not really, man. Bobby just was a great dude, man, for me. You know, when I was at WCW, he was, you know, one of the commentators, and he always used to put me over, man. He always used to like...
Well, how could he not, right? That's what the team were talking about.
Five-time champ, what the hell? You know what I mean? But he always used to put me over, and he always used to say how good I was and whatnot, you know, and he always encouraged me in the back, you know, even when the camera wasn't rolling. So Bobby was a different type of guy, you know, and, you know, Bobby was, you know, such a great talker, but I think he was even a greater man, don't you think?
I never had the pleasure of really knowing him. I met him, you know, a few years back, but it was kind of one of those things. You never want to meet your heroes. You kind of want to leave them on that pedestal, and I think in a way...
met me.
That's true. That's accurate. What a disappointment.
Thank you, brother. Brother.
I think we got another question over here.
We got one more question. Corey got to get to Ontario. He got to get ready for Raw tomorrow.
This is LA, man. This is where I shine. This is my. I get myself in trouble in this town.
All right, next question.
How did it feel working with Neville?
Neville is awesome, man. Neville to me is still to this day, even though he's finally getting his just due, maybe the most underrated guy on our roster. Neville, I've told this story a few times. He was literally the only reason I think I still had a job when we were a tag team, because he was the one that would make sure I got up out of bed in the morning and, like, babysat me because I would lose my mind, and he took really good care of me. And I think it's really cool that they've given him the platform of the Cruiserweight division to really show what he can do, and I promise the best is still to come, man. That guy is unbelievable.
You know, I don't know, a few years ago, I told my students, like I said, I got a school out in Houston. I told my students to go watch a match, and it was like from 2007, and it was Neville and Finn Balor before, you know, anyone had ever really saw these two guys, and they impressed me so much, I told my students to go watch these guys, you know. So these guys, they've been paying their dues for a long time, and now, like Corey said, now they're getting this, you know, time in the sun. Give it up for him, man. Big time.
The big question is, Booker, I actually have a follow-up on that one. After you showed them that match, did you demonstrate the red arrow for your students?
Yeah, I did. You know what I mean? I got skills, man. You
know, no doubt.
You people have seen me on the top, bro.
Was anybody else as terrified of the Harlem Hangover as I was?
You guys might know about the Harlem Hangover.
Hey, what was the...
I invented that move.
What was the success rate?
He did it.
Book, what was the success rate of the Harlem Hangover?
Look here. Let me tell you something.
How many times you hit somebody in the face with your knee?
Harlem Hangover was one of the most innovative moves in wrestling history.
Uh-oh.
I invented that. Okay? You know, I did that. I invented that move. And I'm going to tell you, I went out there and I performed it with great, great accuracy, you know? And I tell people all the time, you know, 15 minutes in, man, you know, you're feeling real good. 30 minutes in, you're okay. You know what I mean? But if I had to hit it around 30 minutes in, the ratio was around 75-65%. You know, that guy may have had to take it. It was a few concussions given along the way. But it was a great move. Thank you very much. Drink to Harlem Hangover.
Yeah.
Look, I'm going to steal that young gentleman in the front row real quick. One more.
If you had the chance,
that's an easy win, man.
Would you fight Enzo Amore for the cruiserweight
that
title?
That is an easy win, man. Come on, take the money.
It would take one, number one. It would not even be a fight. I would kill Enzo Amore with my bare hands. You're welcome.
Hey guys, we gotta let Corey get up out of here, man.
I got some havoc to raise here in the City of Angels. Book, thank you for this, man. It's a great call.
Thank you so much for hanging out.
We got a few more back there. We gotta get up out of here, man. We're gonna be in here for a while. So make sure everybody get comfortable.